All right, all right. Check one, check. It's all right. It's all right, brother. That's all right. Check one, check two, check three, check four, check five. There it is. Amen. Good to see y'all. All right, all right. Check one, check, check. Check one, check. There it is. Okay, good to see each and every one of you this morning. Do we have any birthdays? Any birthdays? All right. Well, I think we're going to start with our pledges and things this morning. Okay, good to see each and every one of y'all. Amen. And then you got a slide presentation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Slide presentation. Amen. All right. Very good. It's a little toasty in here already.
All right, well, praise the Lord. We're going to start out by singing saying our pledges. Happy early Memorial Day to y'all. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. I got that video ready. If you just bring it into focus, play it, and then double click it, it'll go full screen.
There's a longing to be free, free from fear and persecution, free to think and free to speak, Too many hearts have long been silenced to the song of liberty. Let the heart of every person be a place where freedom reigns. Let freedom ring from the mountains, freedom ring from sea to sea. Let freedom ring to every heart that longs for hope and liberty. Let freedom. In the halls of every heart, let freedom ring. From the heart of every prisoner, bound because of their belief. From the heart of every mother, wondering how her child will eat. From the heart of those who suffer, knowing well the price might be. Laying down their lives and saying with their lives, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring to every heart that longs for hope and liberty. Let freedom ring to every nation. Freedom ring near and far. Let freedom ring with celebration in the home. The song of liberty. It's a song that breaks oppression's hold and cries, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from the mountains, freedom ring from sea to sea. Let freedom ring to every heart that longs for hope and liberty. Let freedom ring to every nation. Freedom ring near and far. Let freedom ring with celebration in the halls of every.
Amen. All right, well, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing some praises here.
We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. The sacrifices of joy. To give to give myself. This is my offering. Than to give myself. This is my offering.
Amen.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will.
The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation.
So Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day You've given us, Lord. We thank You for our choir and this worship music, and Jeremiah leading it. And Lord, we just, this Memorial Weekend, we just thank You, Lord, for all the young men and women that, You know, died for our freedom, Lord. And we thank You for that freedom, Lord, being here born in America. Lord, just we thank You for that. And Lord, we just lift up the ones that couldn't be here today that are out traveling. Lord, just get them back home safely. You know, and all these graduates that graduated this weekend that out on the beach and partying and whatever they're doing, Lord, is celebrating their graduation. Lord, just bring them back home safely too, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we do lift our pastor up to You this morning as he brings a message. Lord, we just pray You put that word on his heart. Let the Holy Spirit flow through this church. And Lord, if there's anybody out here today that don't know You, they come forth and give their life to You, Lord, because that's what it's all about, Lord. It's all about You, Lord, and we lift You up. Lord, and we just ask You to bless this offering as we just give us a small portion back, Lord. It all belongs to You. It's all about You again. And, Lord, we just ask You to bless that in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things He has done,
With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, all right. Do we have any takers to Children's Church? Brother Ron, you got a couple today, amen? Okay, Miss Marilyn and John are doing it today. All right. Thank you, Miss Marilyn. Outstanding. All right, all right. Amen, amen. Well, this will be our shot for the day. You enjoy your family time this afternoon. We'll not be coming back here for PM church tonight, so enjoy your family time, but we're going to try to get it all done this morning as we seek to worship and praise the Lord. Amen, man. He's excited, ready to go to Children's Church. It's a good word. Amen. This weekend, every year, I always cringe. I'll be cringing when the local news comes on. You say, why is that, preacher? This is amateur hour for new boat owners today. I'm telling you, people who've bought boats at the boat show, this is, man, if they've not gotten them out on the water, this is the weekend. They say, honey, let's go take that brand new boat to the lake. And man, they do. And they get a little beer in them, and they try to get that thing down that boat ramp. And friend, I'm telling you, I've seen it year after year after year. It is a train wreck. I mean, it is a train wreck. And hopefully there not be anybody die on Lake Conroe, Lake Livingston, the lakes around here this weekend. And I always give you the preacher advisement. Man, if you're out tonight at midnight, you've been out about an hour and a half too long. You better get yourself off the road, because there are going to be some folks this weekend that will have had way too much to drink, and they will be behind the wheel of a vehicle. Please, if you're on a two-lane blacktop, be very cognizant. Undivided highway, undivided road, be very, very cognizant late tonight. Be on your toes. Do not be on your phone. Be watching. Be vigilant. Amen? And if you are at a gathering, if you're at a family gathering and you folks have sought to imbibe in a little bit of the spirits, please don't let anybody get behind the... Take their keys. Call them an Uber. Somebody spring for $20-$25 and Uber them home, man. Save a life and save their car and something, you know, help them out. Amen? All right, amen? Very good. Well, let's take a copy of God's Word. Let's take them and turn to 2 Corinthians today. We take a break from our series of messages in the Gospel of Matthew, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God as you stand. Those of you visiting with us, thank you for being here. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning. We've got several people watching online today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. If you found that this morning, would you say, glory, hallelujah? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Somebody say amen there. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. This passage will not be preached down at Lakewood, I guarantee you. Not going to make it at Lakewood, but it's going to make it here. Amen? it's going to make it here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for these that you have drawn out on a big holiday weekend. But Lord, in the midst of the holiday, may we remember the sacrifice of those men and women who have paid the ultimate price so that we might be able to stand here today and worship as we feel led of the Holy Spirit to worship. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for our military, for our armed services. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for those that felt the call to go defend freedom and gave it all on the battlefield, getting ready to go to the battlefield. Lord, some even die in training. We thank you for all of them that have made a way for us to be this great nation that we celebrate today, the United States of America. Lord, in the midst of the divisive spirit that goes on in our country, may we lay down the division for just one day, 2 days, perhaps 3 days, to remember what a great country we have and the great sacrifice that has paved the way for it. We love you today, Lord. We thank you for these again. We pray for those that perhaps, Lord, they're not saved. They've not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray that this very hour they might receive you and might come into the kingdom of God. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
My goodness alive. Well, I've got the phone on silent, but apparently a call got through. I don't know how that happens. Amen? I don't know how that happens. You got it on silent and a call still comes through. I'm going to have to talk to the people at Apple. That should not happen like that. Amen? All right. Well, what are we talking about today? We begin by kind of giving you a recap of where we have been as a people over the last several months. We're living in a what? Capital E-V-I-L time. We're living in an evil time. I mean, we think about what has just, and it's not completely gone, but just as COVID-19 has become less of a divisive issue. Remember how divided people were over COVID? Just as that thing has become less of a divisive issue, along comes Russia invading a sovereign, democratic Ukraine to their south. And we begin hearing the death and the mayhem and the horrors of war filling the news cycles 24/7. About that time, as we are becoming numb to hearing the daily reports day in and day out of the atrocities out of Ukraine, the news cycle then shifts to a leaked Supreme Court brief that virtually details how the present-day court would rule if they were faced with an opportunity to right a wrong, to overturn Roe v. Wade on abortion. Amen? We as God-fearing Christians, we see this as an opportunity, a great opportunity to right that wrong, to save a life and perhaps avoid God's hand of judgment. Yet the result of this leaked information is an immediate revealing in this country of just how divided she really is. Much like over COVID. I mean, divided, divided, divided. Then just when we think things can't get any crazier than they are, news breaks again in the news cycle that the Southern Baptist Convention has been covering up sexual abuse among its pastors for decades. Decades. No accountability. No accountability. Just keeping a list of men that have been accused so as to protect the institution of the denomination from too much liability. The mentality by the Southern Baptist Convention, by its executive board, by its leadership, is that the victims can fend for themselves. Sad, isn't it? So very sad. And just when you think things are going to get more awkward in the church, when it comes to trying to reach victims of abuse, victims of sexual abuse, victims of pedophilia, victims of rape, whatever it may be, lo and behold, The shooting in Uvalde happens last Tuesday, 2 days before summer break for that district. Now, we have seen plenty of news reports, but I'll give you the highlights. A disgruntled 18-year-old high school dropout, after shooting his grandmother in the head because of an argument concerning a cell phone bill, makes his way to Robb Elementary, crashing his grandmother's truck in the process. He messages some girl in Germany that he's met online that after he shot his grandmother, he was going to shoot up some school. Now, when we think about everything that's gone on, hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? Amen? You agree with me? Hindsight's always 20. And when you look at the aftermath, and you think about the actions leading up to the shooting, you better praise the Lord today, because it is a wonder that not more students and more teachers were shot. You say, preacher, there's a lot of people got killed down there. And it's a wonder, not more. It should have been really three times as many. In that the resource officer was not on campus. Where was he? At lunch? Doctor's appointment? Called in sick? Who knows? He's not on campus. Number two, we're talking about the tragedy leading up to this. Number two, a teacher had inadvertently left a locked door propped open. Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. If she was not one of the two teachers that died, she will live with the pain of her actions for the rest of her days. And number three, an emotionally imbalanced, angry, mentally ill, probably, and shall we say for sure evil, 18-year-old, was in possession of a semi-automatic rifle and high-capacity magazines. After 116 rounds were discharged from that Daniel Defense AR-15, which is a fine AR-15, by the way, the carnage was so horrific that many of the victims had to be identified by DNA because they were unrecognizable. To exacerbate the whole tragedy, 2 days after the shooting on Thursday, Mr. Joe Garcia dies from a broken heart and losing his wife Irma in the shooting. She's one of the two teachers shot to death. And then to top it all off, what had first appeared to be a heroic, high-energy, stormed the building with guns a-blazing by law enforcement, we now find out was a woefully slow and disorganized response as trapped little kids in the classroom were calling 911, begging and pleading the 911 operators to send in the police. And so what else? What else, preacher, does the country now have to divide over some more? Well, I'll give it to you. If you guessed it, if you guessed this, then you guessed it right. The country in the next 6 weeks will be at one another's throats over gun control, over gun laws, over universal background checks, over assault rifle bans. Division, division, division. Well, what's next after that, preacher? What's coming next? Well, after all this calms down in a few weeks, and it will, it'll calm down in a few weeks, something else will occupy the news cycle. It always happens that way. You just wait. The conspiracy theorists will begin to test the waters on YouTube and these different forums. And who knows? Maybe even 6 months from now, there'll be a YouTuber, and he will be mocking the death of these people by making the case that what happened in Uvalde was none other than a sham, was none other than a show, was none other than a great drama put on by the deep state liberal left to drum up support for gun control. You say you think that's going to happen? Friend, the same exact thing happened after Sandy Hook. You had these nut jobs coming out of the woodwork, getting on these platforms, talking about how this was some kind of conspiracy that Sandy Hook never happened, right? How disrespectful and mocking of the loss to those surviving parents and loved ones. Well, with all that said, we don't want to forget the military personnel that gave the ultimate sacrifice as we reflect perhaps this evening with friends and family, or perhaps even tomorrow as we gather with family and loved ones to the official kickoff of summer. But before we remember our heroes, let's remember the pain deep down in the heart of Uvalde. Deep down. Deep in the heart of Uvalde. Now, you've never been to Uvalde. It's a beautiful place. Great place to hunt deer. You get outside of there. Great place to canoe and all kinds of stuff. Uvalde is just a beautiful place. If you like that kind of rustic thing, I love it. It's beautiful. Now, when it comes to pain, I don't think any of us here are fond of it. I don't think anybody would hold a hand up and say, oh, I love pain. No. We don't want even the slightest discomfort. We rebel at the suggestion of pain. We recoil at the sight of pain. We reject the suggestion that pain might be good for us. But what 54 years have taught me, and some of you that are older might be able to relate to this, the lessons of life are almost always taught in the classroom of suffering. The classroom of suffering. Whether you're suffering through an assessment type test as a student, whether you're dealing with the excruciating pain of disease or the heartbreak of grief of losing a loved one to a senseless, preventable tragedy. Y'all remember years ago when my daughter ran into the house and brought down the portico on top of the car? I want to tell you that was one of the most painful experiences my daughter's ever gone through in her life. She came out of the car and she folded on the ground and she clutched the grass with her hands and she screamed bloody murder. She was in deep distress of emotional pain. The pillar of the house had come down in the center of the car, busted the glass, exploding glass all through the car. Now nobody... My whole family was in that car. Nobody got a shard in the eye. Nobody got cut. It was a miracle of God. But she came out of that thing shook up. You know, it was a great lesson. She's the best driver out of the three so far that are driving. Lily and Grace, she was over at one of her friend's house, over in kind of in a, I call it Snob Hill, where the houses are big. Houses are probably almost the size of this church, some of them, not all of them, but they got some big old homes over there. Just right around the corner from where we live. And she's over in Snob Hill, and everybody over there's got a golf cart. Heaven forbid you have to walk to your mailbox or you have to walk to the pool, you know. We can't find parking for you know, our $50,000, $60,000 SUV, so we'll drive a $15,000 golf cart up there, right? So, lo and behold, she was spending the night with a friend. And the friend's parents were out getting some dinner. You know, they're 15 now, so, you know, they got to be left alone for a little bit. And so her and her friend were out there in the neighborhood. And this eighth grader, my daughter's a freshman, this eighth grader, whose parents have more money than sense, have allowed him to drive this fancy schmancy golf cart. And so guess where he goes? Well, he's a typical eighth grade good boy. He goes where the girls are, amen? So he goes down to the cul-de-sac where Lily and her friend are. And they start talking and visiting around. And then they start playing this game with a golf cart, right? And so Lily ends up behind the wheel of a golf cart. Well, Lily don't drive. Lily's not been to driver's ed. You don't get to go to driver's ed in my house until you can keep your room clean and your clothes folded. You don't get the joy of driving until you keep up with your chores. Amen? Is that fair? I mean, that's fair. I mean, I'm not going to put you on my insurance when you can't even, you know, keep your room picked up. I mean, when your room looks like a disaster area, that shows me you're not even responsible enough to keep your room, so you're not responsible enough to be behind. So she's really not responsible enough to be behind any wheel. She's driven my truck once up at the school parking lot, and I felt like I needed to get counseling. I was shaking so bad. Amen? I was shaking. I used to smoke way back in the day. I mean way, way back in the day, and I was looking for one. Amen? I was like trying to get up here with it, right? I mean, I'm telling you, it was horrific. Well, in it, long story short, Lily Grace gets behind the wheel of this golf cart, and in a matter of seconds, she's wrecked it. She's wrecked the golf cart. Driven it right into a light pole. Knocked a wheel plumb off of it. So I get a call, and there's the voice on the other line. And you can tell it's a voice filled with pain. It's a voice filled with anguish. It's a voice that is shaking and nervous and all of that going on. And guess who? It's Lily Grace. And she begins to tell me the story. And you know what my first question was? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. You're not hurt anywhere? No, I'm not hurt. Okay, all right, very good. Well, will you come over? I go, why would you want me to come over? Well, to see the... I go, I got nothing to look at. I got nothing to see. She goes, well, they're going to want us to pay for that. I go, well, man, how much money you got? Right? How much money you got? I don't pay for golf carts. I don't drive golf carts. Right? And so anyway, Stephanie ends up going over there, and I said, you know, maybe you ought to bring her home. She does bring her home. She looks at the golf cart. She says, well, it's not that bad. I said, well, really? She goes, Bailey's dad wants to fix it. Of course, the owner of the golf cart, he wants to send it to his golf cart place. I said, well, that's interesting. I go, so now you can, that's going to be thousands of dollars instead of hundreds of dollars. She goes, you think it didn't look that bad? I said, honey, people got money. They got more money than they got sense. I go, that'll be a couple thousand bucks. Anyway, long story short, I don't know how they worked it, but the bill is $400 for Lily and $400 for the other girl, and I don't know how much the eighth grade boy's paying, right? Preacher, who's going to pay that? Lily Grace is going to pay that. Amen? Painful. Painful. I mean, when you're a ninth grader, that's some pain. What I want to tell you today, I want to share with you three things about this passage. Can we get there? Amen? Number one is this. For the Christian, pain is inevitable. It's inevitable. I would like you to know as we go through this that the Word of God has something to say about all of these occurrences of pain. Whether it's Aubrey hitting the house or Lily hitting the light pole or somebody else finding out they got cancer or somebody else running over somebody else because they're driving drunk, there is an answer to all these occurrences pain. The first thing you need to realize when we think about what we read this morning is that for the Christian, pain is inevitable. Look at verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. For the Christian, pain is inevitable. And you would ask yourself, scratching your head, trying to think it through, why, preacher? Why is it inevitable why is pain inevitable for the Christian? Because that's not the message I get when I cut to Lakewood after I get out of here or before I come up here. When I'm watching Lakewood, they're not telling me that pain is inevitable. They're telling me I can have my best life now. Right? So why is it inevitable? I'll tell you why it's inevitable. Because we have been given so much in salvation. Friend, I want to tell you, you've been given the revelation of the Word of God. It speaks of that in verse 7. You have been given the Helper or the Holy Spirit if you know Jesus. You have been given a personal set of spiritual gifts if God has entered into your heart. You have been given so very much. From a logical point of view, though, it would seem that God would reward those who do good with less pain. But you know, friend, that's not always the case. That's not what life has taught me. That's not always the case. Paul, the apostle, did not get a pass from pain. He suffered a lot. Let's look at his resume of suffering. Take your Bibles and turn back to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23 with me. All right, 11, 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Verse 24. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul didn't get a pass from pain. He has a resume of suffering. And now we find in 2 Corinthians 12, there is the thorn in the flesh. How bad was this particular pain? This particular pain was straight from hell. Straight from hell. A messenger of Satan. Now, perhaps a person going through the excruciating process of cancer treatments could tell us how bad pain can become. Or perhaps someone who has lost a child to war, or an accident, or just plain evil like what happened in Uvalde. Or perhaps someone who has lost a mate by death or divorce or evil like down in Uvalde. But what do you do? What do you do when God does not remove the pain? What do you do? Now, Paul asked how many times? He asked 3 times that the thorn be removed. Amen. Verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. It's totally acceptable. It's totally legitimate to ask and to pray for the pain to be removed. It's okay to do that. But when the pain is not removed, the really important question then becomes, will you find the positive in your pain? Will you find the lesson in your pain? Will you find the moment of growth in your pain? Paul did. And what I believe, is that we can too. We can find the positive. We can find the lesson. We can find the moment of growth in our pain. And for some of you here this morning, and for some of you watching online, perhaps you already have found that. And I praise the Lord for you. Amen? Good for you. For the Christian, pain is inevitable. Secondly, this morning, for the Christian, pain has a purpose. 7b says, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, let me give you a caution when we talk about the purpose. The purpose is only self-evident, right? You can't armchair quarterback somebody else's pain. You can't look at somebody's life and say, you know, they're going through A because God wants to teach them B. That's not for you to say. That's for you to look in the mirror with your own personal pain and say, you know, I'm going through this because I think God's trying to reveal to me. Amen? So don't armchair quarterback each other's pain, right? Do not try to play God with somebody else's suffering. Just pray for them. Love them in their suffering, man. Be a support for them. Come alongside them. All of those things. But don't try to figure out what God's doing in their life. You try to figure out what God's doing in your life. Amen? Like Paul, perhaps most of us cannot see the purpose of our own pain right at first. The only way we can make any sense of pain's purpose is if faith plays a role. Faith has got to play a role. It takes a tremendous step of faith to pray to God who allows the suffering. He allows the suffering. He hadn't caused the suffering, but He allows the suffering. It takes a huge, tremendous step of faith when we can pray to God and say, God, I don't know the purpose of this pain right now, but I trust You to have a purpose in it for my life. Amen? Pastor and author, a long time ago, a man by the name of Ron Mell. He battled leukemia for more than 20 years before dying in 2003. He brought firsthand insight to pain's purpose in the life of Joseph. Ron accounts Joseph's story in his book, Meeting God at a Dead End. It's a great, great read. From Joseph's point of view, there was a time in his life when every angle of life, this is Ron writing, when every angle of life showed nothing but pain. Ron writes, he says, sold by his brothers, betrayed by an employer's wife, forgotten by friends in a prison, and ignored by the God who once had promised him a position of leadership and power. If Joseph had been 16 or 17 when he was captured, how many years of suffering passed before he understood God's hand in the process? Well, you know, we can go and look at the story of Joseph, and we can read that story in a minute or two. I mean, it's a pretty quick read. It's a pretty good story. But for Joseph living it, time was moving in an agonizing, painful slowness. Based on the biblical record, at least 13 years passed before Joseph figured it all out. Friend, that is a long time to spend in a waiting room. That's a long time to spend parked on a dead end. As it all turned out, God was very much at work right in the middle of Joseph's pain. God was working in the courts of Egypt. God was working in the weather patterns that circled the globe. God was working in his brothers' lives. And most particularly, God was working on Joseph's own heart, testing and probing and forming a young man who would simply not waver from his faith in God, even if life took him to the bottom of the dungeon or the height of power and prosperity. But make no mistake about it. As God worked, the waiting was hard for Joseph, bitterly hard, painfully hard. Which brings me to the third point. For the Christian, pain is inevitable. For the Christian, pain has power. And thirdly today, for the Christian, pain has power. Pain has power. Verse 9 says, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. The apostle finally decided that he was fine with the pain. If Christ's power was upon him in the pain, then he would rather have the strength of Christ than his own personal strength. Now think this through with me, because we've all got experiences of this. You think it through with me. Have you ever noticed how people listen to people in pain? When somebody is in great pain, you can see the intensity of the pain on their face when they begin to share about life. When they begin to share about their pain, about their journey through it, we listen with a special intensity, don't we? I mean, we're like, every word they speak, we're just waiting for the next word, for the next syllable, for the next punctuation. We are listening with bated breath. People watch those who are hurting to see what matters most to them. Amen? That's what they do. If the pain is great enough, you will find out where the strength of a person really lies. If the pain is great enough, you will see the character on the inside of that person that inspires all of us. Amen? Amen. I will tell you this. It is a prime time witness when we go through pain. When we go through pain, everybody, and it's so painful, everybody's eyes are on us. It is a prime time witness. It's a prime time witness to get the gospel out. It's a prime time witness to further the word of God. It's a prime time witness to sow those seeds. Amen? A wounded soldier coming home, perhaps missing a leg or missing both, or missing an arm or missing an eye. A wounded soldier coming home still proud of the uniform and the duty that cost him so much. People look at that guy and say, man, where does he get his strength? Parents, perhaps a wife and kids, still proud of this American flag that we saluted this morning as they place a small one of these little flags next to the headstone of one of our fallen military. The old Apostle Paul, we talked about his resume of suffering. The Apostle Paul crawling out from underneath a pile of rocks after some group of people have attempted to stone him. One of those times was in Lystra. You can see Paul struggling, bleeding, bruised, battered, crawling out from underneath a pile of rocks in Lystra, dusting himself off, making sure that he's not bleeding out, perhaps wrapping some wound with some makeshift bandage, dusting himself off, and heading for the next town, Derbe. Going to Derbe. Why? Why? He's going to plant a church. He's going to tell people about Jesus, right? And even the surviving family members in Uvalde, in the midst of their great anguishing loss of pain, finding the peace and the power to forgive the gunman. The peace and the power to forgive the gunman so as to go on living, so as to go on remembering, so as to go on celebrating the goodness of their fallen loved ones, the good memories of their loved ones. Amen? On the NBC Nightly News last night, they reported that two survivors of Columbine, they were there in Uvalde. These people are grown-ups now. They're not kids anymore. They're grown women. Two survivors of Columbine were there in Uvalde. And what were they doing? They were comforting the victims' families and offering their support and love, having survived what they went through in Littleton, Colorado, on April the 20th, 1999. Can you believe that? You know what their great spiel was? The snippet that the news tagged on and showed everybody across the nation on world news? Don't let bitterness take root. We're trying to communicate to these people, don't let bitterness take root in you. When we see such passion, when we see such stick-to-itiveness in the midst of such pain, we applaud that, don't we? We follow that, don't we? We find inspiration for our own lives, for the examples of others. Praise God. Amen? We're all tied to one another. Whether we want to admit it or not, we all tied to each other. Our experiences, our lives. Now, the beauty of a single pearl, I don't know if anybody has a real pearl necklace, but the beauty of a single pearl or string of pearls is unmistakable. I mean, you take a real necklace of pearl, and you can look at that for hours. It's beautiful. I mean, if you pull it up close to your eye, put your reading glasses on, I'd have to put my reading glasses. But you look at those individual pearls and just go through the necklace and look at the different layers and the sheens and the shine. They are incredible. Few jewels capture the eye quite like a perfect pearl. Now, we know how the pearl came to be in the beginning. It's only a grain of sand. It's just a little tiny irritant that slips inside of the tight seal of an oyster shell. And that little bitty grain of sand begins to cause discomfort within that oyster. Well, guess what? That old oyster cannot get that grain of sand out. He cannot hear, or it cannot ease the pain. And so the oyster does what? The oyster coats the sand with a layer of the inner liner of its own shell to make the sand smooth. But this still does not ease the oyster's suffering. So it puts another layer on it. And that doesn't ease the suffering. And so it puts another layer on it. And again, the oyster coats the sand, but all attempts to get rid of the irritant have little effect. As far as the oyster is concerned, what we call a pearl is nothing more than great suffering. But one day, the oyster is fished from the water, and that dude is opened up, and the gem inside has this amazing beauty and holds great value, all because the oyster had great suffering. Now, for those that partake in the Revelation series, maybe it's no accident that the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem that we'll get to in Revelation 21:21 are made of pearls. It is the suffering of our Savior on Calvary's cross that allows the gate to be there in the first place. And more than likely, all who enter those priceless gates will have also known the personal cost of great suffering. That's me and you, friend. And so it's not a question of if, it's only a matter of when will we find the positive? Will we find the plan? Will we find the purpose? Will we find the great moment of learning? The great moment of spiritual growth in the midst of our pain? As we close today and get ready for a time of invitation, would you think about the people in Uvalde? Would you pray for them that each of those surviving family members would come out on the other side of this suffering better than when they went into this suffering? Never going to replace their lost loved ones. They're always going to live with the loss. The loss is never going away. But they have the opportunity to go on and go forward and be better because of it. You say, how can that be? The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of His Word. Now, what do they need now? Right now, they need God's comfort. They need God's grace. They need God's special touch. But in the coming weeks, months, and years, they are all going to have to come to grips and either stay in a state of bitterness and unforgiveness or move past of embracing their pain and figuring out what God is trying to show them. People like us can pray that they do the right thing with their pain. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and do that. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning praising You and thanking You, Lord, for Your goodness and all Your grace. And Lord, as we think about these wounded souls down in Uvalde, these daddies and these mamas and these brothers and sisters and these grandparents and these aunts and uncles and even these spouses that have lost so much, so tragically, and what appears to have been preventable. Oh, Father God, help them. We pray you'd comfort them, pour your love out upon them. Lord, in the midst of all these funerals and memorials that are going to be coming, we pray that grace would be spoken of and Jesus would be mentioned much and words of comfort from your Bible would be revealed to all. And Lord, as these folks go into the memorials and the funerals and come out on the other side, and as they deal with the aftermath of the tragedy, we pray as a congregation today that they would find the purpose of the pain that they're having to live in, live with, the anguish and the weight, the crushing, numbing feeling of hurt. Father God, help them. Help them navigate it. And Lord, help them choose rightly and make good decisions about being able to forgive, about being able to release, about being able to move on and live. May they be a champion and a testifier of the lives that were lost. But may they be a champion and a testifier of the God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ who has seen them through. Lord, in the midst of this evil, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, may this tragedy continue to bear fruit of the gospel. And may people continue to look back on this moment in history for that town and that district. And may you use it to get Christ salvation into the hearts of lost people. Amen. Father God, we pray that the pundits on either side of whatever stance they want to take would lay down their proverbial arms and simply pray for peace and for comfort and for grace. There'll be plenty of time to debate what needs to happen next. But right now, it's just it's an equation, it's a proposition, it's a call for comfort, it's a call for help. It's a call for prayer. And so, Lord, may we think about these folks. And as we think about them, may we pray for them. And as we pray for them, may we think that one day they too will get past this pain. Help them, God. Help them. And Lord, again, as we think about, as we close this time out with an invitation, maybe we want to come to the altar and pray for somebody that's struggling with an issue of pain. Maybe we ourselves are struggling and we need to lay something down at the altar, Lord. Maybe it's bitterness or unforgiveness. Who knows? But Lord, may we have the freedom to do that for a few moments in the invitation. And then, Lord, as we get ready to part this place, may we think about again the great sacrifice of the men and women that have made a way for us to have a country. Thank you for all that they've done. Thank you for your sovereign hand upon us, God. Thank you for these United States of America. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. Amen. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'll be down front. If you need to talk about salvation or other prayer needs, you come on down.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this bleeding breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling.
Amen, amen. Well, again, you guys enjoy your family time tonight. Pick you up on Wednesday night. We'll be talking about the New Jerusalem. Amen? Praise God, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. All right, very good. Well, don't get too hot out there. Stay hydrated and watch the crazies out on the road, man. That's all I know to tell you. Watch the crazies out on the road. All right? Stay off your phone. Keep two eyes on the steering wheel, two hands on the steering wheel, two eyes on the road. Amen? Let's be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for loving us. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our great country, Lord. You truly have blessed us, allowing us to be born here, come here, live here, work here, die here, Lord. What a great country. What a great America. What a great military. What a great country we have. Father God, it's made up of people who at times in history can come together like never before. And we pray now, Lord, as we close, that we would come together once again to defeat evil in our midst. The devil wants to divide us. Satan and his minions and the demonic, they want to have us at each other's throat. But Lord, may we sense how we're being manipulated and duped into fighting one another. And may we lay that stuff aside. We pray the Holy Spirit would anoint our country in such a way that there would be a unity of spirit in this place for the protection of the unborn, for the protection of people who are abused and misused. Father God, we pray that you would get a hold of us as a country and the great sacrifice that has been spent for our freedom would not be in vain. That in our division, we would not mock the death of those who have provided our freedom. But we would come together in unity to be a better people, a more Christ-centered people, more of a Jesus-worshiping people. Lord, we can't legislate salvation, but we can sure send people to Congress and send people to the Senate and send people to the House that have a love for Christ, that have a love for your word. So, Father God, may we seek out those politicians who want to go and stand in the gap, that are saved, that are Christ followers. May you raise up a batch of Christ-following politicians. And Lord, may you get a hold of, once again, this government. We pray for our government. We pray for our president. We pray for his advisors. Lord, we pray that he would steer this country in a bibliocentered, Christ-centered direction. Help us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.